Chapter 20. The Spanish minister at Washington has also declared that his government has the right of search in the harbor of Havana. Hence, in the face of two such authorities, the question raised is probably answered from a legal point of view. But if that is the law, it would seem well to alter it, for it gives the Spanish authorities absolute control over the persons and property of Americans on American vessels, and that privilege in the hands of persons as unscrupulous and as insolent as are the Spanish detectives is a dangerous one. So dangerous a privilege, indeed, that there is no reason nor excuse for not keeping an American ship of war in the harbor of Havana. For suppose that letters and dispatches had been found on the persons of these young ladies, and they had been put on shore and lodged in prison, or suppose the whole ship and everyone on board had been searched, as the captain of the Olivette said the Spanish officers told him they might decide to do, and letters had been found on the Americans, and they had been ordered over the side and put into prison, would that have been an act derogatory to the dignity of the United States? Or are we to understand that an American citizen or a citizen of any country, after he has asked and obtained permission to leave Cuba, and is on board of an American vessel, is no more safe there than he would be in the insurgent camp? The latter supposition would seem to be correct, and the matter to depend on the captain of the vessel and her owners, from whom he receives his instructions, and not to be one in which the United States government is in any way concerned. I do not believe the captain of a British passenger steamer would have allowed one of his passengers to be searched on the main deck of his vessel, as I saw this Cuban searched, nor even the captain of a British tramp steamer nor of a coal barge. The chief engineer of the Olivette declared to me that in his opinion, it served them just right, and the captain put a cabin at the disposal of the Spanish spies with eager humility. And when one of the detectives showed some disinclination to give back my passport, and I said I would keep him on board until he did it, the captain said, "Yes, you will you? I would like to see you try it," suggesting that he was master of his own ship, and of my actions. But he was not. There is not an unwashed, garlicky, bediamonded Spanish spy in Cuba who has not more authority on board the Olivette than her American captain and his subservient crew. Only a year ago half of this country was clamoring for a war with the greatest power it could have selected for that purpose. Yet Great Britain would have been the first to protect her citizens and their property and their self-respect, if they had been abused as the self-respect and property and freedom of Americans have been abused by this fourth-rate power, and are being abused today. Before I went to Cuba, I was as much opposed to our interfering there as any other person equally ignorant concerning the situation could be, but since I have seen for myself, I feel ashamed that we should have stood so long idle. We have been too considerate, too fearful that as a younger nation, we should appear to disregard the laws laid down by older nations. We have tolerated what no European power would have tolerated. We have been patient with men who have put back the hand of time for centuries, who lie to our representatives daily, who butcher innocent people, who gamble with the lives of their own soldiers in order to gain a few more stars and an extra stripe, who send American property to the air in flames and murder American prisoners. The British lately sent an expedition of 800 men to the west coast of Africa to punish savage king who butchers people because it does not rain. Why should we tolerate Spanish savages merely because they call themselves the most Catholic, but who in reality are no better than this naked Negro? What difference is there between the King of Benin who crucifies a woman because he wants rain and General Weller who outrages a woman for his own pleasure and throws her to his bodyguard of blacks, even if the woman has the misfortune to live after it and to still live in Sagua Grande today? If the English were right, and they were right, in punishing the King of Benin for murdering his subjects to propitiate his idols, we are right to punish these revivers of the Inquisition for starving women and children to propitiate an Austrian archduchess. It is difficult to know what the American people do want. They do not want peace, apparently, for their senators. Some through an ignorant hatred of England and others through a personal dislike of the president, emasculated the arbitration treaty. And they do not want war, for, as someone has written, if we did not go to war with Spain, when she murdered the crew of the Virginius, we never will. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.